I am here in the studio with Zach Mertz. He's the CEO of New England Wildlife Centers, and we're here to talk about some critter things, what's happening right now, some things that are critical, some things that are upcoming, and we're so glad to have you back in studio with us again today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, you have what? You have got two locations. You've got the Weymouth, that's your what? Your headquarters, and then a place on the Cape as well.
Exactly. Yeah, New England Wildlife Centers has two hospitals, one in Weymouth, serves Metro Boston, and then one out in Barnstable and Cape Cod. So between the two, we're helping people all and animals all over the state.
So if people are not familiar completely with your mission, what exactly do you do? Do you work for zoos? Do people bring you things? How does this work?
So our mission, first and foremost, is to educate. And we use the platform of veterinary medicine to do that. So we have both of our locations treat wildlife. So that's 230 species, anything you guys would find wild in your backyard. If it gets sick or injured, you can bring it to us. But we also run an exotics practice called the Odd Pet Vet. So we won't see your dogs and cats, but we definitely will see your snakes, lizards, hamsters, and any other oddball pet. And then, believe it or not, we actually do provide veterinary care to zoos and collections. So we do a little bit of everything, as long as it's slightly oddball and untraditional.
And actually, I do. I actually read that column. I think it's, isn't that your father writes for the Pet Gazette about some of the unusual critters that he's treated and thoughts on life in general?
Yes. Yeah. My father, it's called the Cold-Blooded Vet, and yeah. that's his pen name. But he probably gets the oddest of the odd, and he's a little odd himself, so it makes for good reading.
It does make for good reading. Now, one of the patients that you folks were treating has been making statewide and local news, and that was a bald eagle that was found, I believe, in a cemetery in Arlington. Tell me why the bird was exhibiting such unusual behavior and what that comes from.
Sure. So we took in the bald eagle known as MK a couple days ago. Really well-known eagle throughout the Mystic River watershed. And, you know, being in Arlington, there's just a lot of people that know who she is and her partner is and love her. So unfortunately, a couple of days ago, they found her down in the cemetery, unable to get any significant flight. You know, she was trying to fly away. She couldn't. Folks there knew that wasn't correct. And so they were able to capture her up and rush her to us. And what we discovered, unfortunately, is that she was suffering from anticoagulant rodenticide poisoning or rat bait poison. It's a really prolific problem, but it's a catastrophic problem for animals like MK. And what the poison does is essentially they'll eat a mouse or rat that has ingested the poison and it stops their blood from clotting. All of a sudden, the eagle or hawk or owl eats that animal and then their blood stops clotting too. And so by the time we got MK, she was really weak. She couldn't pick her head up, couldn't stand, and really just didn't have enough red blood cells to circulate around her body and carry oxygen and nutrients.
How do they treat that? How do you treat that?
So in our hospital, if we get them early enough, it is treatable. We can use something called vitamin K, which is, you know, it's a vitamin, but it acts as an artificial clotting factor. It'll help the body clot and overcome some of the effects of the poison. We also give fluids, you know, get them hydrated, some pain meds, keep them comfortable, and anti-inflammatory meds. But it takes a lot. I got to tell you, you know, treating one case can take, you know, anywhere from 2 to 3 months all the way up to 8 or 9 months just on a single patient to get that poison out of the system.
And from some of these birds that get to you, you're seeing over 100 a year. I imagine there's others that don't make it and you never see.
Exactly. Yeah. Our hospitals probably take in, you know, 100 to 200 cases a year. But like you said, those are only the ones that make it to us. No animal makes it to us without a human attached. And unfortunately, the latest research out of Tufts University showed that in testing wild birds, there's almost 100% exposure rate in some species. Even if it's not a dose that can kill these animals, we're getting back results that show that they've all at least come into contact with it in a chronic sense. And so it's a real problem.
So the anticoagulant that typically comes from what the rat poison or the mouse poison, are all the poisons that they put out to kill rodents, do they all have the same formula?
I'm so glad you asked. There are a lot of forms of rodent control. And truthfully, you know, all of us will probably be in a situation where we need to control mouse or rats one day in our house just to protect our health and family's health. But there are a lot of good options, whether they're holistic or they're deterrents like snap traps and plugging up the holes or even other chemicals on the market that are less harmful and that are not going to bioaccumulate and end up killing nature's natural rodent control, right? Because, you know, for every owl and every hawk you take out of the environment, that's a few thousand less mice that they're going to eat each year. So it's just not a good way to go about it. There are much smarter solutions that'll protect us and the environment.
And if you, let's say if somebody just goes to their hardware store to buy rat poison or mouse poison, can they buy the anticoagulants, or is that only from the professionals that use that?
Yeah, so thankfully, the EPA has restrictions on it. You can't walk into your hardware store and buy it. But I will say, unfortunately, there are ways you can find it online, even if it's illegal. So if you are going to do rodent control, we ask that you just read and make sure you're not buying one of the, it's called second generation anticoagulant rodenticides, but people refer to them as eschars. So stay away from any anticoagulant type of rodent control when you can.
What kind of information are you getting from the actual like pest control industry? Is this something that they want to make sure that they can maybe make it a safer world for birds and not use the anticoagulants? Are they interested in changing maybe some of their methods?
You know, we work with a lot of PAC agents, and they're all great people. And, you know, I don't think you get into that job unless you love animals in some regard. And so a lot of the folks we work with are moving to get away from that. But it really takes a lot of public education. There are a lot of folks that simply don't know about this problem and don't know what the effects are. So as sad as MK's case is, we're hoping that it, you know, can shine a light on some of the problems with using these chemicals.
And MK was, and I remember there was even, I think, a children's book written about her. Did she make it?
So yeah, MK has a lot of fans, and I'm so sorry to report last night MK did succumb to her illness. You know, our vet team was right there by her side, but the amount of poison we suspect is in her body was just overwhelming.
That's so sad, and hopefully maybe people, now that they know more about it, can work to prevent it. If people have questions about what you do, want to find out more about you do, or even report an animal that needs help, what's your best contact information?
Sure. You can call New England Wildlife Center's our wildlife helpline, and that is 508-362-0111, and we'll be there to help.
And it's newildlife.org. That's your website?
That's correct.
Now, I had a couple other quick questions for you, because we're getting into the spring season, and the last time we talked, you were concerned about avian flu and possibly affecting all the people that have the backyard chickens and ducks. How has that been this season so far?
Yeah, it's just a fun time to work in wildlife right now. There's all sorts of issues going on. But yes, yeah, so in the state of Massachusetts and really throughout the country, there's been an emergence of a highly pathogenic avian flu, bird flu, as people call it. We started seeing cases, I think, as early as March of last year. And unfortunately, it's been a reasonably steady caseload, you know, throughout the entire year. And, you know, we're only seeing the wild birds, but it seems to be sort of ebbing and flowing. But we are still seeing cases now.
And I know, too, with the baby birds and the creatures as they emerge in the spring, a lot of times you have to tell people, let them do their own thing. Don't try to get involved with, you know, picking up baby birds, et cetera. Still, I think, a good message for people to hear, because I think sometimes people want to be too helpful.
Absolutely. I mean, you see a cute baby animal on the ground and you want to step in and help. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it is best to step back and observe for a good 20 minutes to a couple hours, as long as the animal doesn't look like it's in imminent danger. Because most of the time the parents are doing the right things and they'll be right there for them. If that doesn't work out, you can give us a call and we can help guide you through the best way to reunite that family. Or if it needs care, we'll bring it in.
And give us that number again. New England Wildlife Center
is 508-362-0111.
And just while I have you here, one more question. I know that there was a bill filed, I think it was last session, and this had to do with the anticoagulants. Did that make it all the way to the governor's desk? What happened with that?
Yeah, so we've been working really hard with a coalition of probably a few hundred sponsors and co-sponsors. The bill did make it through the House. It made it through the Senate, and it was the last day of the session. It didn't get that signature it needed to pass, but it has been refiled. And I believe the House docket number is HD577. And so we're looking for folks to write their legislators and ask for support on that, because it'll go a long way to curtailing the use here.
And what would that do? Would that really cut back on the use of the anticoagulants? Would it ban it? How does that work exactly?
Yeah, so this bill we see it as a critical first step. It's not an outright ban, but what it would do is help improve reporting. And so for the first time, you could really see how much of this poison is being used and where. It'll also help boost public education to give people better choices. We see it as sort of a first step in the fight to ban rodenticides, but a critical one, because we need to know how much we're dealing with and what the true effects are before we can move forward.
And James Hawkins, he was the one who filed that yes. legislator. Yep. And I think Pat O'Connor, I believe, Senator. Wasn't he a co-sponsor of that, too?
He certainly was, yeah.
That's great. So I know you feel like you're saying it over and over, but I know a lot of people are driving. Again, what's the best phone number to call New England Wildlife Center?
So you can call us at 508-362-0111.
That's great, and a happy spring, and hopefully we'll be able to make some traction in cutting back on these anticoagulants. We've been talking with Zach Mertz. He's the CEO of New England Wildlife Centers. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I'm Christine James.